Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, July 25th. Friday means it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning.
How are things going for you today?
Everything's well. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Say, what do you have for us this week? Any news in the world of creation matters?
There's always some news, creation versus evolution. And something that we have today is an article that was from Nature about a feathered dinosaur that supposedly had four wings, and it's caused a little bit of a stir in the world there, and they've had a lot of information about it online. So what do they actually have? What is it? Does it really have four wings, and is it really a dinosaur? That's something that needs to be challenged. It's out there in the headline. Everybody assumes it's true once they see the headline, but you got to read the whole article and check out with our friends from Answers in Genesis to see more of the story, and then you see something else develops in this picture. What's going on? Well, a fossilized high-performance feathered microraptorine called Changiraptor yangi is making headlines as the longest feathered dinosaur on record. It had four wings, sort of, and a long tail featuring a sleek aerodynamic design and quill-like feathers about a foot long. Counting the tail, this critter was about 4 feet long and weighed about 9 pounds. And paleontologist Louis Chiappi of Natural History Museum of Los Angeles, lead author of a recent report in Nature Communications, told the Washington Post, "I've never seen anything like it. It's a stunning specimen, and it was stunning to see the size of the feathers. This is the dinosaur with the longest known feathers, by far. There is nothing like this by a very good distance. The feathers were one-fourth the size of the animal, and it's just wonderful." Well, let's talk about this a little bit more in the time that we've got. First of all, where was this fossil found? Okay, well, this researcher that we just quoted and his fellow evolutionists purchased this fossil from Liaoning, I can't pronounce this, it's Chinese, L-I-A-O-N-I-N-G, Liaoning province, and this is the usual source of so-called feathered dinosaur fossils, and whether the feathered or dino-fuzzy kind, and the source of Archaeoraptor, the most famous fraudulent example. Now, stop and think about this. If our listeners are not familiar with this, there was a big stir a number of years ago because National Geographic had a front page main article about this so-called feathered dinosaur that was proof of a transitional form from the reptiles to the birds, and then it turned out it was a fraud. It was, you know, like Piltdown Man, it was manufactured, and was very sophisticatedly done, very carefully done by the Chinese, who have made a cottage industry of producing fossils that they fake and then sell to Western researchers, and it's fun for them to see if they can pass something off as genuine when it's really fake. But it was proven to be fake when people actually did scans of it, and they realized it had been pieced together from a whole bunch of different things. It was not really what they claimed it was. And so this fossil comes from them, and it has not reportedly been scanned, so we don't know whether it's fake or real, but assuming that it's real, then why would you call it a dinosaur? Only because people who believe in the evolution of dinosaurs into birds want to believe that there had to be a feathered dinosaur ancestor to modern birds, so that's why they call it a dinosaur. When you examine the fossil, it has full, modern-looking feathers, quill-like feathers, and flight feathers that would be, you know, that have the same aerodynamic shape that modern bird feathers have. The thing that's unusual about this is that it has feathers on its hind limbs, the legs, and they're rather long, and so people wonder, I wonder if they used those in flight. And so people have tried to configure this as if it had four wings in flight. Now stop and think about it. When you have a fossil, it's flattened. It's like roadkill. Okay, you find seriously that you look at this stuff and sure, it's flattened and crushed, and so and the bones are in a very distorted shape, and so you don't really know how this particular creature looked when you had it in three-dimensional living form, and how, in this case, these long feathers on the legs, on the hind quarters, actually were used, how they actually appeared in the living specimen and how they were used, whether they were used to fly or what have you. But it actually turns out, again, they're calling it a feathered dinosaur with four wings. Really, the feathers are true bird feathers, and the other features of the critter show that it's a true bird, not a dinosaur, not a reptile. So that's one thing that we need to make clear. They did find out that the neck on the fossil had been artificially reconstructed by the Chinese. So already that raises some suspicions about, you know, the integrity of the fossil. And then again, the hindquarters being a wing, even somebody who believes in evolution, is not a Bible-believing creationist, a researcher by the name of Kevin Padian of the University of California, Berkeley, he pointed out, quote, "It hasn't been shown that this leg feathers on the Microraptors is really an aerodynamically competent wing." So there goes your four-winged feathered dinosaur that they're touting in the headline. Now, we do know that there are living birds today, like some eagles and hawks and so forth, that have feathery legs, and they do use them in flight. Particularly, they use them for control and for braking, particularly when they're diving on prey and stuff like that. So we understand that God could have designed this particular creature to have feathers on the legs that are used in a similar way as eagles and hawks use their legs on their feathers on their legs today as well. So that is not out of the question. You know, God made more kinds of things that are currently living. We have lots of examples of creatures that God made before that are extinct. Their only evidence for them now is in the fossil record, and this could very well just be another example of that. And what does this mean for us, you know, today?
Sure.
You know, well, what we would say is the evolutionary story that birds evolved from reptiles, we know is not true. From the Bible, we read in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the birds on the fifth day when he said, "Let birds fly above the sky." And so he made, the same day that he made creatures in the water, he made the birds to fly, and everything was commanded to reproduce after its own kind, which is what still happens today, is it not, in every kind of living thing. And land animals were created by God on day six. And so the land-dwelling dinosaurs were created on day six. Birds were created on day five. And so from God's word, we realize, well, birds didn't evolve from dinosaurs. Also from the fossil record, we can see that birds didn't evolve from dinosaurs because there were fossils of birds in the same rock strata where there are fossil dinosaurs. In fact, while you won't see it when you go to a museum display, there are in the same rock layers that are by evolutionists dated to be like 80 million years old, you have the dinosaur fossils, and you also have fossils of ducks, owls, flamingos, parrots, and so on, along with turtles, frogs, snakes, salamanders, and other kinds of modern creatures living at the same time as the dinosaurs. And so the evolutionary fairy tale falls apart when you look carefully at the evidence, both biblical evidence and the fossil record.
Hmm. That's fascinating. The whole four-wing thing, I think, throws me off. I was trying to figure out how that would work. Would that allow a creature to fly faster? I wasn't aware that some birds today have feathery legs that they use.
Yes, eagles and hawks do, but they don't use them in flight. So it's not like something they use to flap.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I think our listeners need to be aware of. You know, the forelimb, which in modern birds is, you know, that's their wings. That's what they flap to get lift and to have motion. The hind limbs, you know, which are their feet, they use they kind of curl up underneath them while they fly. But in the hawks and eagles and so forth that do have more feathers on their legs, they do also use them for maneuverability, for control when they're diving, when they're slowing down to land, and like when they're going to grab prey and stuff. In fact, one of the things brought out in this article is, as they were speculating about the possible uses of the leg feathers or trousers on this particular specimen, was did it glide and then need to break so it wouldn't crash into the ground? Likewise, the long tail. The specimen does seem to have a really long tail with really long feathers on the tail. And the question is, what would that be for? It would seem to produce a lot of drag and not be useful for lift or anything like that. But the thought was that it could possibly have been used aerodynamically for maneuverability as it was trying to land, and particularly to bring the nose up, whether it was gliding or diving, so that it wouldn't crash into the ground, so that it could, you know, bring the nose up and then have a controlled landing instead of crashing into the ground. But again, we don't know that. Nobody was there. None of us was there to see this creature when it was alive and how it actually worked. So this is all speculation on the part of people who are looking at this fossil and wondering, you know, is this a legitimate, genuine fossil, or how much of it is faked by the Chinese who sold it to the West? And then what is legitimate, assuming there are major parts of it that are legitimate, can be interesting in its own right because of the feathers, because of the tail, because of features that seem to be unusual about it. And again, our good friends at Answers in Genesis would say it appears that it was a real bird with real feathers and features that are characteristically bird-like and not reptilian, and that it's just a kind of bird that no longer lives, just like the Archaeopteryx. In a way, we have 11 specimens of fossils from of our Archaeopteryx, and there's a lot of similarities there in terms of having a long tail, true feathers, claws on the wings, teeth in the beak, and so while evolutionists want to say, this shows the transition from dinosaur to bird, when it's carefully examined, you say, you know, this is really a true bird, and while no living birds have teeth in their beaks, there are plenty of examples of extinct birds that did have teeth in the beaks, and there are still living birds today that have claws on the wings, so that's not a reptilian thing either. True birds today that do have claws on their wings. And so when you examine the whole story here, you realize it's wishful thinking on the part of evolutionists. So just as with apes, trying to prove the ape-to-man transition, whenever they find an ape fossil, they try to make it seem more manlike and emphasize the characteristics of a particular fossil that they think make it seem more human. And so they take the ape fossil and try to make it more human-like. And in a similar way, they take a human fossil and try to emphasize the features that they think are more ape-like. So that's how they try to produce an ape man, or try to show the transition from ape to man in the fossil record. And they're doing the same thing here with dinosaurs and birds. You know, you've got what should be a real bird fossil because it's got true feathers, and there's no hint of how you would get from reptilian scales to feathers that are quill-like and asymmetrical on the wings, and so that they could presumably be used in flight. There's no way to see a transition from the scales to the feathers. Surely this is a bird, but they call it a dinosaur because they want to believe there were feathered dinosaurs that were evolving into birds. So, again, it's a matter of evolutionists playing fast and loose with terminology as they look at this evidence because they want to believe their story of molecule cement evolution, of dinosaur to bird evolution. And they're telling that to the public, but when you look at all the facts and get all the evidence there, you realize, actually, this is a bird. It's a kind of extinct bird. It isn't a dinosaur turning into a bird.
When we try to make that leap from, you know, even When we try to make this leap, like as you said, from a dinosaur to a bird, just looking at it, we might think, okay, it seems plausible. Just the human reason might make you think that it seems plausible, but we're leaving out so much when we try to make that leap, aren't we?
Well, leaving out a lot because there's nothing in the fossil record to show this transition. People talk about missing links. Mm-hmm. That leads people to have this idea that you have almost a complete chain from this kind of creature to that kind of creature with only a few little pieces in the transition missing. But actually, when you look at the fossil record, it's like taxonomic grouping today, where there are large systematic gaps between the various kinds, you know, between birds and reptiles, between fish and amphibians. There isn't this gradual change from one kind of creature to the other, either in living creatures today or in the fossil record. And so to talk about it as evolutionists do, and even as they picture it when they show a tree of life and this form leads to this form leads to this form, it's very, very misleading, because when you start to ask, well, do you have a sample of this one? Well, no, you don't. Do you have a sample of this transitional creature? Well, no, we don't. Do you have a sample of this transitional creature? Well, no, we don't. And Carl Werner, in his book and related DVD called Evolution, The Grand Experiment, does a great job of exposing that. And he visited all these museums and all these dig sites, and his book is full of information showing how museum displays and the charts and graphics that they put out there and textbooks are deceptive, because they lead the unsuspecting to think that evolution has shown all these transitional forms which are missing from the fossil record. So once again, we see that what the Bible says is true. Everything reproduces after its own kind as God created them to in the first week of creation.
Amen. All right, we'll talk again next week. Pastor Worth, thanks so much.
I look forward to it.
Have a great week. More of His Time coming up in just a little bit.